of William Westerhoff, and he's an expert in IoT security, IT security, and operational technology security. You're rolling your eyes, but I'm sure you're very well good at it. Actually, he became famous 8 years ago when he outlined the horror scenario, how you could hack into a photovoltaic installations from one manufacturer and use it to trigger a European-wide energy grid shutdown. Since then, he has authored, I think, 35 CVEs and is regularly advising the Dutch government. So please welcome William.
Yeah, thank you very much for the warm welcome. Well, 8 years ago, I did a presentation here, which I did not expect it to do like 3 days in advance, but things happened, about how an intern hacked the power grid. And now 8 years down the line, I can say I am no longer an intern. I am now a senior, so. So how a senior hacks the power grid. And I'll try to keep it light because it's a very dark message that I have to send today. I'll skip this part because he's mostly outlined it anyway, but basically I hack things, and you could take things quite literally. That can be IT, OT, IoT, whatever. If it looks cool, I'll probably be interested in hacking it. The main thing that stuck with me over the years is solar energy or renewable energy in general. And even last year, we got to make a report about this, about the entire Dutch solar infrastructure and how it all intertwines and interacts. And I got the privilege of working with that as well. So let's revisit the original one, the TLDR of 2016. So the theory was that if you lose 3 gigawatts of solar energy, we are going to have a large power failure, because we emptied the emergency pool and that's it. We also compared the cyber attack towards a solar eclipse. And a solar eclipse is an event we prepare for and take a lot of countermeasures to counteract that. And we concluded that a cyber attack is probably going to be a lot worse. So we can assume that it should be possible to do this. And then we try to put that to practice, right? Because theory is only one thing. So we tried to hack what we believed was the best inverter, the most secure inverter at the time, or the brand of it, which was SMA, a German supplier. And throughout the thesis, we found 20 vulnerabilities. But we also found it's possible, but it's quite difficult to pull off. And we looked at, well, one of the questions we got was, what about the rest of the inverters, like the Chinese ones, the US ones, the Israeli ones? We don't know, but we tried to hack the best, but the rest is probably worse, but we didn't have data yet. Well, today we have data. But all indicators showed that it was possible for skilled attackers, and worst case would be basically €4.5 billion in damage, in the sense of an electricity failure across Europe for more than 24 hours. Now let's revisit that. So the 3 gigawatt drop. Well, the good news is it's actually 5 gigawatt these days. And that's because there's a little bit of self-healing in the system where, due to net congestion, if you fail PV here, the others will just up their game a little because they are normally working at 80%. So there's a bit of self-healing there. And there has now also been done a bit of PhD-level research with people with a physics degree and a mathematics degree that looked into these numbers. And they said, well, 3 gigawatt is, in fact, a correct threshold, but that is the state level one emergency. That's when they start large-scale load shedding, but it won't cause critical failure yet. The critical failure actually happens at 4.5 gigawatts. So all in all, it's probably more like 5 gigawatts today. But there's also plans to push this up to 7 gigawatts. Now the bad news, because there's always good news in bad and bad news in good, right? Is we actually need less inverters nowadays because they have become much more efficient over the years. So net result, we need less to do the same. And it's not just that we need less, there's also just way more of them. Back in 2016, we were talking 50 gigawatts across Europe. Right now, we're talking about 370 gigawatts, hitting possibly 400 this year. And in 2030, it's probably going to be up to 700, 750 if you look at the current predictions. And that's not just the EU, that's also the US, China, Asian markets. Everything just went in an exponential growth spurt. So where it used to be about 10% of devices that needed to be affected, it's now only 1.5% that needs to be affected. Now, another thing that happened is the rise of China. Basically, over the last couple of years, the amount of inverters coming from China has grown exponentially. These are somewhat older numbers of 2023, but basically, of the 350 megawatts, more than half of that comes from Chinese vendors already back then. And the past 2 years, the biggest growers were also Chinese vendors. And that changed the market into really a price-fighting market, where there was a lot of price pressure, there was a lot of feature pressure. And in that kind of market, security never thrives. And that means that we are now stuck with 13 different brands that actually have more gigawatts than that 5-gigawatt limit. So if any of those 13 get a serious breach, we have a problem. And the top 10 biggest ones actually all have more than 10 gigawatts, with the biggest hitting over 100 gigawatts. And those are mainly Chinese vendors. Then, to add to that theory, the general trend is for IoT devices that if someone says they are secure, they are completely insecure pieces of shit. Let me be very clear about that. 9 out of 10 times, IoT is insecure. There is so much attack surface, there is so much price pressure, there is so much first-to-market pressure that they almost never get it right the first time. And at some point, we decided that all these systems needed to be connected to the internet. And then somewhere along the line, we figured that putting them on the actual internet was probably not the right call, so we started connecting them to cloud portals instead. Right? And that seemed like a good idea at the time because everything would confer in that cloud portal, but it would be more secure than putting it directly on the internet, and we could still manage it with our phones and with our devices anywhere in the world. And then geopolitics changed a little, and we figured out that cloud computing was actually just someone else's computer in China or someone else's computer in the US, which became quite a problem. So, to revisit that, as a general rule of thumb, the more power you compromise, the more of a mess you can make in the grid, right? Very simple equation. But dropping 5 gigawatts is still the most reliable option to pull this off. And I'm talking 5+, like the more you drop, the more chance you have of succeeding. But there are quite some alternative scenarios. A lot of the systems nowadays have electrical parameters and safety settings like the voltage, the waveform, islanding, that sort of thing, which you can actually change also through cloud access. And with that, if you change that, mess it up enough, you will trigger upstream automated responses. So the substation will measure very weird things and think there is a crisis going on and hence take action automatically. And another example is by changing those electrical parameters, you can actually trigger a local outage of a single house or single location, single street, or maybe even a single country if you time it well enough, but for a specific area. And we also know that if you have a lot in one place and you drop it, it can spread. There's a benefit in clustered access to specific plates. It can cascade because of the impact of downing a part. It will cascade down the line. Others will also be affected, even if they weren't affected by the initial hack. And that leaves us basically with anything below 3 gigawatts can still be a major issue. And if we look at the Spain outage, for example, that was originally started by a forced oscillation in a single utility PV plant. We still do not know what caused this forced oscillation. We just know that it happened, it wasn't natural, and then all the other systems started doing things and crashing. And in the end, that leads to a 2.5 gigawatt in PV drop because the systems automatically responded to what was happening, and that caused the entire meltdown in the end. But there's also Australian research. This is a very good but very hard to read research paper where they indicated that actually only 200 megawatt can be enough. If the grid is already very strained, pushed to its limits, with basically the emergency reserves being pushed already, you only need to give it like the last shove. And even that, it's not just you need to empty the emergency pool. If you can empty it faster than they can fill it, you're also good. And PV is one of the fastest shifting up and down power systems that we have. Like, the only thing that can match it in speed is batteries. If you try to scale up with nuclear, with gas, it's just slower to ramp up than we can shut it down, and the hacker can still win. But if you want to do that, if you want to pull off an attack with sub 100 megawatts, sub 1 gigawatts, you really need in-depth knowledge of how the grid works and how that specific area of the grid works. So that's much harder. Well, so for the theory, practice. Well, this is where I would have shown you all my cool new vulnerabilities if responsible disclosure actually did something. So it hasn't been fixed yet, but I still have things to show you. I will give a shout out to the DAVD for helping us out. We basically now delivered all our papers to them and said, hey, please go to embassies, go to the government. I don't care how you get it done, but make sure this gets responsibly disclosed. But as a... I just couldn't get it across my heart to really push it into the wild. But I know you're all hungry for new CVEs. Well, good news for you. 40 new ones get dropped at DEF CON today in PV, and they are not fixed. So happy hunting. And obviously, I can still show you some things. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. Practical. For the Dutch grid, we did a very specific research. It's online, you can find it. And we came up with about 27 feasible scenarios to end the grid through PV measures. And for the EU, there was a different party which did it more in the EU scope, and they came up with 14 feasible scenarios. And they also mapped risks to it and recommendations and solutions and all that. And most of them were actually in the category, this is a high risk, this is a high risk. There were a lot of high risks in there. And I'm going to talk about 5 categories from that today because we don't have time to go through all of them. So, vulnerabilities in the authentication mechanism. Well, 2024, end phase. There were a combination of six new vulnerabilities, but 3 of them combined led to remote code execution for unauthenticated attackers. Full device compromise. This was discovered by someone from DIVD, a hobbyist. SunGrow and Growit was attacked by Forescout, and SunGrow, they looked into the MQTTT messages, and they were able to basically push through that, unauthenticate it, make it do whatever they wanted to do with any SunGrow device. Growit, same thing more or less. You could basically tamper, thanks to some insecure direct object references, adding any device to your account and then doing whatever the hell you want with it. And then you'd think that Growit would learn something from that, especially after the exposure for Forescout. But only, I think, a month, maybe 2 weeks ago or something, we had another one for Growit by another hobbyist from the DIVD, which basically owned them again and had the same scenario through a different function where you can add plans to your account and then do whatever you want with them. So it's not their device, it's our device. Then, if you look to tampering through APIs, Soberman had a nice one. I think it was Bitdefender that did this one. And basically, you sign in with your credentials, and then you get a token back. But in the request, you change your username to someone else's, and you still get a valid token anyway. Right? That's the glory of having some access to someone else's accounts. Then in the same Forescout project, they hacked SMA, they found a remote code execution on the cloud portal server, so that's like the central hub where everything gets connected. There was a remote code execution there. That's also not a thing you want to happen. And then there's someone that needs, in my opinion, some specific love here, Van Gele Stikas. He did a research on his own for just a hobby project, and he basically fully compromised 6 vendors, to the point where he was company admin in their cloud portal. And he tried to disclose that for 3 years and got nothing. And after that, what's interesting, most of those, when you have the admin portal, right, if you have company admin, there was actually a built-in give me a shell on this machine feature as a known function, as a backdoor into every inverter that's connected to these brands. So he basically just for 3 years had this massive cloud storage in his pocket. Now, something that I can show you today that we actually worked on, we went into the dark web to see if we could find some credentials. And we found thousands of them. For different vendors, for all of the top 10 vendors, they are there. And obviously, some will work, some don't. You know, these are the info steers that get something. Maybe they resetted it, maybe they don't. So again, we transferred this to DIVD. Please have a look-see, because we can't really do that legally, but they might be able to. And first glance result, we found one vendor account, and this is not a vendor account, but just a account for that vendor, which has 250,000 connected plants. So that's about 2 gigawatts worth of PV. And we found one vendor which had 200 utility-sized plants, but in a single country, talking about clustered access. That will get very messy very quickly. And we found another vendor which had 2,500 utility plants all across Europe. And these creds weren't for sale. They were just there in Telegram channels. You could just like go there, read it, and like, oh, that's interesting. Then for the manufacturer access, in 2022, Jelle Ursum went on GitHub and found a secret there, which turned out to give access to the enterprise admin for Solarman, Solis, Omnic, and Ginlong Solis. So about 1.3 million inverters at the time, which is also not something you want on public GitHub. But in 2025, when we looked into our dark web research, we actually also found two accounts of employees of specific vendors with similar levels of access, deliberately not naming vendors here. But when you look at compromise to manufacturers, again, the research of Van Geges, five different vendors have built-in backdoor mechanisms, which is also pretty, like they would probably consider it a feature, I do not. And when we look at a compromise with vendor support on these days, well, often vendors actually demand connection. If you're not connected to their cloud, you will not receive support. I think I now know why, because they probably backdoor in to get information out of it. But hey, that's a thing. Let's not dwell on the backdoor access because it's a feature, right? But those safety settings that can be changed from the cloud, and I'll show you these ones here. Basically, these are over-voltage protection settings, so when should the system take action and not supply voltage anymore, or lessen it? It was initially set to do this in Dutch values, and I can just change it through the cloud to over 300 volts before it changes anything in its behavior. And this is one example, but you can also get it to supply 400 volts to your household, or you can get it to completely ignore anything pushed by the grid, go into islanding mode, stop protecting yourself with anti-islanding, and just start pumping 400 volts at 70 hertz. Fuck it, go nuts. Yeah? Well, when this happens, I'm still not sure because I can't really try this in practice, but either the grid or locally very weird things start happening, or the thing just breaks instantly. That's basically what's gonna happen. And you need to understand that at least four vendors in the top 10, and some of those include like the 50 plus gigawatt players, have this enabled. You can do this with installer rights, and installer rights are retrieved basically by saying, I would like to have an installer account. Now, to add insult to anything else, what we also should understand is that every time we sign into the server, our credentials get sent there. If anything, anyone at any point runs a Wireshark on that server, they will have all the credentials they ever need to do anything. And that's also a considerable problem in the current geopolitical landscape. So in short, if we're looking at vendor-supported attacks, they got us by the balls. Like, if they want to stop us having power, we will not have power anymore, or at least not from solar. And that's going to be bad, because especially with those electrical parameters, if you mess them up badly enough, you can actually also hinder getting the grid back up. You can delay that process quite significantly. And just to summarize this, you know, this is not fine. Right? This is bullshit that we're at this stage, at this point. But let's assume that about 50% of those vendors that I just talked about are affected. So the list of people that had a full compromise, their gigawatts, and then half of that. And that's assuming not all PV is powered at the same time. There's going to be clouds in places. Not everything's going to be connected. All that sort of thing. We just cut out half of it, and that's it. Even then, we can still determine, based on the 2023 data, that more than 60 gigawatts were vulnerable at the start of 2025. And that is vulnerable over the internet very easy. And this is based on the 2023 numbers. In 2024, 2025, the largest growers, four of them, three of those suffered a full compromise in 2025. So you can basically, if you want to make a realistic guesstimate, we're looking at 100 gigawatts, 110 gigawatts that was vulnerable at start of 2025. And that's excluding those leaked credentials I talked about. It's excluding the vulnerabilities disclosed today at DEF CON, and excluding whatever DIVD still has in its backlog of things to call in. So, where do we stand? Well, we need to assume that nation states are capable of messing up the grid. And I'm talking 100 plus gigawatt drops here. This is not something that you're going to counter with a couple of batteries extra. And it's not just, like, we talked a lot about China because it's a Chinese vendor, right? But this is also a problem for China. China also has like 700 gigawatts of power. And there's nothing saying that the US government can't breach the Huawei portal and down China that way, right? This works for everyone. We also know that on the dark web, the cyber criminal circuit is exchanging credentials. You can just passively gather them there, even if you're not a very technically skilled attacker. And we also know that anyone that really looked at this deeply and intensely for like more than half a day has found very significant issues. And that is hobbyists, that is professional hackers, that is interns. Like anyone that has a serious look at this has found major issues, and often they don't even like get through the OWASP top 10 without finding a high risk or a critical risk. So realistically, any grid internationally with serious solar level penetration should be considered vulnerable. So yeah, I talked about this in 2016. I said, hey, this is possible. You might want to start addressing this. I honestly didn't think that we get to where we are now, because it's a much more urgent problem now. Just looking into what the future holds, I guess that governments and the energy sector will now start forcing regulations. Like, you've had years to fix it yourself, you clearly didn't do it. It's going to be legalized now, and that's going to be bad for the sector and bad for our wallets when we want to have PV power. I'm also guessing that given the current geopolitics, we might actually see this getting exploited in the wild. It is easier than ever, and the situation is more tense than it's been in years, so fingers crossed it doesn't happen. And definitely there's more vulnerabilities coming this year and the next years. And just as a final thought experiment, let's say in the next 2 years, every nuclear reactor in Europe, there are 180 of them, and they in total supply about 160 gigawatts, are going to connect to a single portal. We're going to host it in China because there's cheap labor there. And they are going to steer it using a web interface over the internet with single factor authentication. So admin123. And that password is sort of known in the right people groups, basically. It is on the internet somewhere, but no one really wants to tell you where. But it's also not really necessary to have the password to control those. There are tricks to just like control them anyway through the web portal, even if you don't have the password. And also, using the application, you can actually override the safety parameters because it's more efficient to make money that way. And really, the nuclear safety limits are like, we can stretch them a little, right? It's okay. Would any here find that acceptable? Just show of hands. No? No one? I was hoping for a fun debate. Okay. No, but realistically, people, if we do not find this acceptable in nuclear, why the hell do we find it acceptable in solar? I really don't know how it got to this point. It escalated very quickly. But if you are in solar, please figure your shit and let us as ethical hackers help you do that. And if you are in government or energy, make them fix it. because we have been trying for years, we're just not getting even a response in most cases. Well, that's it for today. For all my sources I learned from the great Bert Hubert on this, there's a QR code or a pastebin link with all the reports, all the vulnerabilities, all the videos to vulnerabilities, that sort of thing. Feel free to use it. And if you have any questions afterwards, I'll be around here on the terrain, but you can also mail me or add me on LinkedIn.